Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening
of another show. Well, the news of this theater week, and hey, we'll take what we can get, was the announcement of the Tony nominations. Now, these only include the 18 shows that had officially opened. Many more than that were either in previews or in rehearsals. The big winners were Jagged Little Pill, Moulin Rouge, and Tina, essentially the only three new musicals. The dramas were likely winners Slave Play, The Sound Inside, and Grand Horizons, the latter two, which debuted in the Berkshires, by the way. Now, the most humorous category was Best Actor in a Musical, only one nominee, Aaron Tveit from Moulin Rouge. Really? They couldn't grab Ike, the Tina musical, and move him from the feature to the lead category? Anyway, I'm not a betting girl, but if I were, I'd put my money on Adrienne Warren as Tina and Mary Louise Parker in The Sound Inside. Anyway, congrats to all for this asterisk award ceremony, which as yet has no date or host. Now, other than that, a few openings are springing up in London and at some outdoor venues in our country, but nothing close to normal. Meanwhile, there is plenty to stream from our homes and laptops. Now, when I think back on what I viewed this past week, two things come to mind. Our legal system and Aaron Sorkin. Now, let me explain. First, I watched Why Would I Dare? The Trial of Crystal Mason, which emanates from the Rattlestick Playwrights Theater. This is the actual 2018 transcript of a woman who cast a vote in Texas, but because she had previously served time, the vote not only didn't count, she was taken to court over it and sentenced to another prison term. Now, Crystal claims she wasn't informed of the law at the polls. We are there in court with her for this rather harrowing personal tale, a woman trying to do the right thing and turn her life around. This one remains on YouTube for a few more weeks. Then I streamed a highly stylized recorded production from the Cal Arts Center for New Performances called The Carolyn Bryant Project. This is a two-character piece about Emmett Till and the woman with whom he allegedly flirted in a tiny market in Money, Mississippi in 1955, which led, of course, to his infamous murder and, some say, the civil rights movement. The narrative goes back and forth in time. You know how many come after me, Emmett warns his accuser. Nothing that boy did could ever justify whatever happened to him, says Carolyn many decades later, as the truth behind the hideous incident came out. This one, too, takes us inside the legal system, reminding us once again that the greatest offense is often silence. Then I viewed Aaron Sorkin's The Trial of the Chicago Seven. Now, yes, I know this is theoretically a new film on Netflix, but it feels like a play. And not surprising, Sorkin was and is a playwright as well as a film and TV writer. He penned A Few Good Men and the To Kill a Mockingbird redo, after all, so he knows his way around a courtroom. And P.S., if you can find your way to HBO Max, The West Wing reunion is rather remarkable. Almost all of the original cast performs an actual episode of the TV series on a stage as a play in four acts. And who created that series? Yep, you guessed it. Well, when I wasn't streaming Sorkin, I visited BAM's site, which is offering, just through tonight, I believe, a program of oral histories called That Kindness, Nurses in Their Own Words. Actors including Connie Britton, Marissa Tomei, Rosario Dawson, LaShawn's, and Billy Porter take turns reminding us of these selfless people who do far more than take our temperatures. You save one life, you're a hero, says one character. You save 100 lives, you're a nurse. These are heartbreaking and heartwarming sentiments. I also tuned into the Minnesota Jewish Theater, which has a nice one-man piece up called Operation Immigration, a touching and creatively directed personal tale reminding us, as he says, that we are all immigrants. So lots of good dialogue this week of the scripted and unscripted variety. I enjoyed listening to John Doyle and Marianne Elliott, two hugely successful British directors, talk about their ups and downs on the weekly classic stage company conversation. She was 8 previews into her Broadway revival of Sondheim's Company with a female in the lead role. Doyle made his New York reputation minimalizing Sondheim shows, and he was in rehearsal for another one called Assassins when all this happened, of course. Are these two artists made of stuffed egos? Well, hardly. We own the right to fail, Doyle says. Elliot speaks of a constant crisis of confidence, especially on Broadway, where the pressure is so much higher. Well, she's done okay with War Horse, Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and Angels in America. And then thanks to the 92nd Street Y, I listened to Oscar Eustace, the head of the Public Theater, interviewing Pulitzer Prize winner Ayad Akhtar about the latter's new memoir novel called Homeland Elegies, which I actually just read. And they ponder the future of stage. Akhtar wrote Disgraced and Junk, among other plays. This is the end of the world or a new beginning, said Eustace, who half-jokingly noted that as a white man, I've never gone this long with so little praise. The most glittery thing I tuned into this last week was The Best Man by Gore Vidal, a guy who was pretty good with words himself. This one, about a presidential election, benefited the Actors Fund and featured Felicia Rashad, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Vanessa Williams, Matthew Broderick, Zachary Quinto, and Reed Birney. That's a cast. No script changes since this 1960 play was written, but there were lines here like, you should have your own TV show. You're thinking of endorsing a man you know to be psychopathic? His doctor says he is one of the sanest men I have known. Well, The Best Man has come and gone, but I know I plugged it here last week. Okay, what to plug this coming week? Well, tonight, Monday, you can listen to actress Marcia Mason discuss her long and varied career on the Keene Company site. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is a busy night. You can catch the next episode of Lessons in Survival via the Vineyard Theater. These are short, dark, and varied pieces using excellent actors who have formed a group called The Commissary, reading the words of people like Maya Angelou and James Baldwin and Lorraine Hansberry. Also tomorrow, you can get out your ball gowns and tuxes. Well, hardly. But the aforementioned Public Theater is presenting Forward Together, a star-studded event of music and storytelling. I mean everyone from Audra McDonald to Oscar Isaac to Laura Benanti to Meryl Streep and onward. This is free, but in grateful support of a company that continues to pretty much personify New York stage history. It has even more competition, however. The next Actors Fund streaming of so-called classics is Kenneth Lonergan's This Is Our Youth, and it stars Paul Mescal, the young male half of the recent smash series Normal People. These play several times and can be found under Today Tix or the Actors Fund site. There is also a lot of original material coming out of playwrights' hearts and minds during this time. For the next 3 weeks, for example, Theater Row is offering 14 new short plays as part of a program called In Union. Similarly, the IAMA site and company will offer 6 new works all week long as part of its own festival. On Thursday through Saturday, you can head to the Atlantic Theater and watch a reunion of the cast of The Skeleton Crew, a well-reviewed play by the very hot and happening Dominique Morisseau. Personally, I'm most excited about Saturday's matinee and evening presentations by Molière in the Park. This latest adaptation is called The School for Wives. The last one from this company was absolutely delightful. Finally, as we head toward Election Day, the stage world is stepping up, subtlety be damned. Wednesday, you can watch Heidi Schreck discuss her one-woman piece, What the Constitution Means to Me, via the New York Theater Workshop. And you can listen to a radio play called It Can't Happen Here on the Center Theater Group site. Conceived by Berkeley Rep, this is an adaptation of a Sinclair Lewis story penned in 1935 about an authoritarian demagogue trying to take over America. It can't happen here. Well, it's amazing, Jill, what resonant gems reside in so many of our archives.
Not bad. So how is it for someone who is used to going to all sorts of theaters and seeing all sorts of liveness to see these on a screen?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, people always say to me, God, don't you miss going to the theater 4 days a week or whatever? Of course I do. But I don't know. What can I say? You know, they do such a good job. It's really amazing to watch actors' expressions up close. You know, if you're not sitting in a front or second row in a theater, you're not really watching their expressions. Everybody says that about Hamilton, how much they're watching it over and over again on Disney Plus, because, you know, they put the camera on different people at different times, so you're seeing sort of more of the action. Spike Lee just directed David Byrne's American Utopia, which I saw this season, and I haven't seen it yet on screen, but apparently it's the same thing, that you're sort of seeing it in a different way. So the joy is watching so many actors, obviously doing a lot of good work. Is it the same? You know, of course not. And they'll say that, they all say the same thing, that they miss the audience. You know, the audience is part of every show. They work off an audience.
Well, of course, the feed, it's a circuit for both. You know, the audience is engaged and the actors, there's nothing to say about that. Because it's a given in any, I always have used the, the first night and the excitement, even if the show is just a complete disaster, there's still an energy. Whereas the end of a show that's been incredibly successful, but it's over, it doesn't feel the same. It just doesn't feel the same. And these are the, the unquantifiables of life or taste or anything. There's
absolutely, and they're all looking forward to that again. I'm actually working on an article now. I might discuss this next week, which is about all the plays that have been adapted to film that are coming out in the next few months. It doesn't sound that unusual, but it really hasn't been done much since 2000. It used to be that every musical went right to, you know, became a movie. And most dramas by Miller, or, you know, Neil Simon, they all became movies. That really hasn't happened in a long time. You'd be surprised. Partially because people go to the movies now and they want big action. They don't want a lot of talk. And theater is about a lot of talk. It just so happens that there are about five or six that are coming to screens. They hope to come to big screens, but they'll probably end up, you know, on Netflix on our smaller screens. But I think in a funny way, it's a good time for those because they are more intimate. And maybe it'll, I keep saying optimistically, maybe it'll create a new audience. You know, people will say, hey, this was on Broadway. This was a stage play. Maybe I'm not scared of the theater, you know. So I don't know. It's one of those silver linings, as I say, that may be coming out of this time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.